Take your Bibles and turn to Genesis chapter 12 and Romans chapter 1. Title of our message today is The Mission of the Church is Missions. The Mission of the Church is Missions. Mark Osman, writing in The Everlasting Nation, writes, quote, "Before ascending into heaven, Jesus Christ commanded his disciples, 'Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature.'" Mark 16:15. "Preaching the gospel message should constitute the main thrust of a local congregation's ministry. And evangelizing the Jewish people ought to take center stage in a congregation's missions program." Unquote. If you would, the book of Genesis, chapter 12, Genesis chapter 12, we'll read those very familiar verses 1, 2, and 3. Genesis chapter 12. "Now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." And we are so glad for that blessing, right? Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, again we come before you asking your hand a blessing on these that are here in person or those watching online. Lord, may each receive a blessing from what is said. May, Lord, we continue to serve you faithfully. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Romans chapter 1, in verse 16. You may have it highlighted there in your Bible. Any number of missionaries have proclaimed this verse, and it says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." That should be the testimony of every believer. And Paul, writing to these at Rome, said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." The Bible provides three reasons for placing such a priority on Jewish missions. And number one, Jewish missions, the focus of Jesus Christ's ministry. It was his focus. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 15. Matthew 15. The Gospel of Matthew recorded an encounter between Jesus Christ and a woman of Canaan, which we'll read shortly. She wanted him to deliver her daughter from demonic possession. I believe there are many people today that are possessed by demons. I think we live in a very sin-sick world. But I also believe that many Christians, though not possessed, are definitely being influenced by the world. And we need to be careful. In his initial response to her request, the Savior stated, "I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel," beginning at verse 21 of Matthew 15. "Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, 'Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil.'" Can you feel her pain? Can you understand where she's coming from? I don't know how many parents have through the years come and said, "My child, my child." And they've been grieved over something that was happening in their life. And she has come to Jesus begging for mercy. In verse 23, "But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, 'Send her away, for she crieth after us.' But he answered and said, 'I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, before we continue reading, can I say this? Aren't you glad that it's not just to the Jews, but also to the Gentiles, that we can have salvation? Or else we'd all be saying we're Jews. Okay? Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. Can I say here for a moment, our dog doesn't care if you give him the food. He wants it. I mean, he's very polite about it, and he's very sneaky in getting his thoughts across. Sometimes I think, you know, if you could talk, you'd really be a pain. But anyways, dogs want the food. Verse 27, and she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. By that statement, Jesus did not mean that he restricted his activity solely to the Jewish people. The Lord interacted with Romans in Matthew 4, Samaritans in John 4, and Greeks in John 12. However, he directed the main thrust of his outreach towards the house of Israel. In the Old Testament, the Lord's mercy was seen again and again to Gentiles and Gentile nations. Naaman, Nineveh, those Egyptians that left Egypt with the Israelites at the time of the Exodus, etc. And I'm glad that the Lord loves us all. Jesus Christ, as we know from the gospel narratives, intermingled with people from every level of Jewish society. Have you ever noticed that when our missionaries come, quite often they're ministering to the poorer people in an area? That quite often it's not to those in the upper crust, because many times they can't be reached. Well, it's not that they can't be, it's that they will not allow themselves to be reached. We did have one missionary to Mexico a number of years ago before he left to go to Africa, that his ministry was totally to the upper echelon of people. But we find in most cases it's not. But he reached out to religious Jews, Pharisees, Sadducees, scribes, lawyers, secular Jews, as well as the outcast of Jewish society, the demonic of Gadra, you know, the guy in the tombs, lepers, and the socially unclean, informing them that he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. And I am glad that he is willing to do that. Two, Jewish missions, the practice of the first Christians. If you would, the book of Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. We'll begin reading at verse 9. Acts chapter 1. And we'll read verse 4. Beginning at verse 4. And being assembled together with them, commanded that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Before Jesus ascended into heaven, he gave one final speech to his inner circle of followers. God did not see fit to let them know when he would restore his kingdom of Israel. Instead, those disciples would serve as messengers, as bearers of the gospel message, empowered by the Holy Spirit. Luke's opening words to Theophilus, found in Acts 1:1, refer to all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, as we find there in Acts 1:1, began both to do and to teach. Luke was thus implying that others would continue doing their master's work. Now, does that include us? It does. For we that know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, the task is not done. It still needs to be done. And yet I understand that sometimes, especially those who have been saved for any length of time and they've been in a gospel preaching church that emphasizes missions, that sometimes we just take things for granted. And sometimes we do not get the job done. Now, I want to tell you that, remember Dan Bell? Remember how he used to come to the church here many, many, many years ago? And I called him the other day, and he told me to tell all of you hello. He has 13 acres of property down there in Tennessee, and he likes going out on his tractor out on the farm. Now, I won't tell you why he goes out on the farm to the 13 acres, but it had something to do with Joyce. Some of you will get that later on, okay? Men will probably get that more than the women. But anyways, he told you to say hello. Do you remember that he was a Baptist preacher? Okay. And he's been ministering in a Baptist church there for about 8 years. He did move to Virginia for a while. The fact is, the gospel message still needs to be preached. Here in Michigan, or in Tennessee, or around the world, it still needs to be done. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus detailed the geographical extent of their endeavors. First, Jerusalem. City of what? Peace. Jerusalem. The disciples first proclaimed the gospel in Jerusalem. This is where Peter delivered his message on the day of Pentecost. He and John healed a lame man at Solomon's porch at the temple at Jerusalem. They stood before Jewish councils held in Jerusalem and testified of Jesus there. Indeed, the early Christians evangelized that area so effectively that the Jewish high priest told them, "Ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine." Now, wouldn't that be exciting? That we could be said of Sterling Heights and the surrounding cities, "You have filled this area with your doctrine." It's been a long time since I've given this illustration. Don and I lived in Arlington, Texas, and attended the Bible Baptist Seminary. Anytime you entered the city of Arlington, Texas, there was a sign, and it would say "Home of," and it would have Six Flags, and it would have SeaWorld, and then it had where the Texas Rangers played. And Alvarez, my pastor, Roman Alvarez, said he wanted it to be that finally the city of Sterling Heights again, of Arlington would make a new sign saying "Home of Six Flags, Seven Seas, the Texas Rangers, and the New York Avenue Baptist Church." Now, that didn't happen. And I do believe SeaWorld is gone. But the other two are still there. But it would be great if we made a difference in this area. Judea and Samaria. Persecution resulting from the martyrdom of Stephen caused many of the early Christians to leave Jerusalem. Luke recorded that they were all scattered abroad throughout regions of Judea and Samaria, except for the apostles. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere. Do you remember what they were doing? Preaching the word. They didn't go and hide. They went and they preached the word, Acts 8:1-4. Philip, one of the first disciples of the congregation in Jerusalem, journeyed to Samaria where he preached Christ unto them. And as he did, the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Acts 8, 5 and 6. Can I tell you this? That because of what we have in America today, it makes preaching harder. That television has made it so that people don't care. They don't have to come to church on Sunday night or Wednesday night because they can be entertained at home. They have so many places that they can go and be entertained or things to do. And so the ministry does not have the same impact that it once did because people have other things they're doing. As I was coming to church this morning, and I told you I'd stop to get gas at the Costco. There's the Meijer gas stations right there, too. And there were 13 or 14 motorcycles sitting there. You think those guys were going to church? Now, I know they could. I believe there was a Sunday when a motorcycle group came to church here. Do you remember that? On a Sunday morning. And I don't remember the family that invited them, but I doubt they were going to church. What were they doing? They were going out probably to ride their bikes. You know, there are so many things people are doing today, and church has drifted way down the list as something to do. But that doesn't mean we stop the preaching. The job still must be done. To the uttermost part of the earth, Christian evangelism expanded beyond Judea and Samaria. Luke referred to disciples in the cities of Damascus, Joppa, and Antioch as they took the gospel and they continued to minister. While Paul and Barnabas ministered in the congregation of Antioch, the Holy Spirit said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them," in Acts chapter 12. The two men went to Cyprus and then to Asia Minor, evangelizing the Gentiles and planting churches in those locations. How would you like to have taken the gospel message to a place that had never heard of Jesus Christ? How would you have liked to take them where they had religion? They had religion in all these cities they went to, but they still went with the gospel of the Lord. Paul and others made later missionary journeys to various cities in Europe, such as Berea, Philippi, Corinth, and Thessalonica. Also Athens, and we know that Paul went to Rome. So we first have Jewish missions, the focus of Jesus' ministry. And second, we have Jewish missions, the practice of the first Christians. And then third, Jewish missions promoted by the Apostle Paul to the Jew first. He tells us in Romans chapter 1, verse 16. In his epistle to the Romans, Paul described the gospel as the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and, don't you like that word and also to the Greek. To we that are Gentiles, proton, the Greek adverb rendered as first, could indicate any person or task having a top priority. So what should be the top priority in a church's existence? To proclaim the gospel, correct? That should be number one. That's why on Sunday mornings in Sunday school and in church, we proclaim Christ and the salvation that he provides. Jesus Christ, for example, advised his audience to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That is the job of the church, to proclaim the gospel. Now, I'm glad that we are Bible Baptists. I'm also glad that we're Eaton Baptists, and that next Sunday, when we have our fifth Sunday potluck, we can gather together and eat. That's a good thing. But as much as it's good to eat, we need to make sure that we're proclaiming the gospel as a church. Thus, Paul though called as an apostle to the Gentiles, understood that evangelizing the Jewish people should take precedence in a local congregation's community outreach and mission program. Now, I'll be the first to tell you, I don't know any Jews personally in this area. But does that mean that we shouldn't still, as a church, promote Jewish missions? We still need to do it, right? And we send money monthly, not only to some Jewish missionaries, but also to Jewish organizations who help proclaim the gospel message to the Jews. Paul practiced what he preached. As soon as he arrived in a city, he headed for the town, what? Synagogue. Or synagogues, depending on how large a Jewish population it was. During their first stop in Cyprus, Paul and Barnabas preached the word of God in the synagogue of the Jews, Acts 13:5. Because of the Jewish tradition, a man could stand up and he would give his thoughts, and Paul would tell them of the Messiah that had come. Paul and Silas followed the same routine. No matter what, where there was a Jewish synagogue of the Jews, Paul in his manner was that he went in unto them and reasoned with them out of the scriptures. As his manner was, he went to the Jews first. Paul explained his reason for following this practice to the attendees of the synagogue of Pisidian Antioch, where he said it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. Acts 13:46. The gospel message must be given to the Jews. So what did we read back there in the book of Genesis, that those that bless them will be blessed? What greater blessing is there than to give the word of God to the Jewish people? The Greek adjective rendered as necessary there in Acts 13:46 denoted anything required by law or custom. It should be our desire, because it is necessary to preach the gospel. The priority placed on upon evangelizing the world and the Jews foremost cannot be overemphasized. So what is the title of tonight's lesson? The mission of the church is missions. The mission of the church is missions. And when a church forgets that, it has forgotten one of the main things in which the Lord desires for us to do. In conclusion, Jesus proclaimed the gospel to the Jew first. The early believers shared the message with the Jews first. Paul not only taught it, but practiced it to the Jews first. We support the International Board of Jewish Missions, and they promote and encourage Christians to reach out to the Jewish community as a ministry priority. May we never forget that we need to take the gospel message to the Jew. I realize that in today's world, we are finding more and more anti-Semitic feelings. 65% of all hate crimes in New York City, 65%, it's not against Muslims. 65% is against Jews. 65%. The Black Lives Matter in California went into a Jewish community using slurs against the Jewish people, vandalizing their synagogues and their schools of worship. Here in the United States of America, let alone in Europe. But the fact is, they are still the apple of God's eye. They are still precious to Him. And He desires that we continue to send them the gospel. Shall we stand together, if you would, please?